Good morning. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5? We're going to read all the way through verse 21, but primarily emphasize this morning on verses 15 through 17. We've been talking about how, as believers, we should be walking. Last week we saw that we are to walk as the light and to be willing to let people around us see the light of Christ in us. And now, part of that, Paul picks up on here in Ephesians chapter 5. And as he's talking about this idea of being an imitator of God, he says that one of the things that we need to do is we need to be able to walk each and every day of our lives in wisdom. And to be able to use that wisdom as we seek to follow his will. So Ephesians 5, verse 15. Paul says, therefore, be careful, be careful. If you have the King James Version, it will say, walk circumspectly. But be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. And we just ask and pray now that, Lord, you would fill me with your Spirit's guidance. Help me, Lord, to speak those words that will penetrate our hearts. And Holy Spirit, would you teach each and every one of us here. That every one of us has a journey with you, and we're at different stages in our walk with you, but Lord, each and every one of us is being affected by you, and we pray that your word will affect our hearts today and challenge us about our own walk with you, and we praise you for the outcome, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that Paul first says here is that look carefully. It says be careful how you walk. It really means look carefully how you walk. We're to walk as wise men. And he says, look carefully and make the best use of your time. That's the kind of the literal saying that he's talking about here. As I thought about this whole concept and I thought about wisdom, this came to my mind. What is that? That's an owl, of course. An owl. You know, it's interesting, though, about owls. And as I thought about this, walking in wisdom, there's some statements that are some facts about owls that really pertain to some of the things we're going to look at. First of all, when you think of an owl, what do you think about? What's the old saying about owls? What's that? Wise as an owl. Yeah, yeah, wise as an owl. There's also something interesting about an owl. What's the other unique thing about an owl? Huh? Yeah, they can do this. I love this picture. I love this picture. Dan and I were going through pictures of owls the other day. And came across this. I thought, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want right there. Owls can do that. They can turn. I'm seeing everybody go like, okay, let's see how far you can turn yours, okay? Turn as far as you can go. How far can you go? Okay, I don't see anybody's heads looking the other way. You know why that is? It's because an owl, God made them in a special way. They have the ability to articulate their necks 270 degrees. You try that with your neck. You can't, because when God made them, he made them with, we have seven, basically, vertebrae in our neck area. An owl has over 14 vertebrae in their neck alone, which allows them to articulate their head 270 degrees. They can see all the way in the back of them and all the way around the side again. God also made them really kind of cool, because not only can they articulate that far, but you're thinking, okay, if I tried to do that, I would cut off the blood to my head and I would pass out. Well, God made them in a special way so that their circulatory system is designed to be able to compensate for their head turning around that far, and they can still do it without losing any blood to their head. They're a wonderful creature. When we think about owls, when we think about them, we associate, as you said earlier, We associate owls with wisdom. And we often say someone is as wise as an owl. As wise as an owl. Which really means someone who is pretty smart. They're pretty smart. They've got it pretty well together. In mythology, owls were oftentimes associated with wisdom, mainly because of their large eyes, as you saw the picture there of that owl, of their wise eyes. They have that scholarly look. Okay, so in mythology, they were often spoken of giving the appearance of being educated. And I thought this was kind of cute. This is kind of an interesting thing. There's a man by the name of Edward Richard, and he said this, which is really kind of interesting when you think about this statement. He says, a wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why aren't we like that wise old bird? Interesting, isn't it? That's an add-on. I'm not even going to charge you for that one, okay? That's just something to think about. But no, when we look at this section right here, I wanted to point out about the owls, because Paul's talking about that we are to walk wisely. We're to walk wisely. Now, in the King James Version, that verse 15, it reads like this. See that when you walk, and he uses this word, circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly is an interesting word. It really means this. It means looking around. And if you were to take the Greek word and look at that, what it means is having the ability and doing exactly what the owl does, making sure that you're swiveling your spiritual head, as it were, all the way around you, 270 or 370 degrees. In other words, keeping a sharp eye out all around you, being aware of what's going on in your life. It comes from two words that mean, those two words mean looking around. And it carries the idea of being very precise and very accurate and aware of what's going on around you. In other words, Paul is saying here, see to that you walk carefully and with exactness. That's the meaning. Now, the opposite of that would be this. It would be walking or living carelessly and without proper guidance or any forethought. Just scatterbrained living, that's what I'm going to be doing. Paul says we've got to be very careful how we walk. We have to make sure we make wise decisions in our lives, because there will be consequences to those decisions that we make that are contrary to what God would have for our lives. And it also means looking all around, being aware of what's going on around you as that owl does, having a constant awareness spiritually of what's taking place. When someone wants to build a house, and many of you probably have, you first draw out some kind of a plan about what you want in your house. You have a plan, a layout, so you know what you're doing. You have something to go by, and you have something to be able to see. Well, God wants us to use our days living and walking in wisdom. And we can plan out our day. We can do that. Proverbs 16:9 says, the mind of a man plans his way, but guess what? The Lord directs your steps. Sometimes you may make plans and you may make goals, but God kind of sometimes walks into your life and all of a sudden changes things around a little bit in your life. Speaking to believers, James says this in James chapter 1. And so we need wisdom. We need to be able to know how to live our lives. James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. In other words, go to God. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing here, Lord, and I need your wisdom. Go to God and ask him, and he'll give it to you. He gives to all men generously. I mean, he just pours it on and without reproach. And God promises this, it will be given to you. So if you have something coming up, if you have a major decision, you have something in your life taking place that you don't quite understand where you should go or how you should do it, ask God. And he will give you wisdom to be able to do that. And it will be given to you. We can believe and trust him for that. So we're to continually grow in our wisdom as well. That we can become more and more mature, more like Christ, more fruitful and more productive. You know what? Even Jesus, it was said of Jesus in Luke 2:52. It said of Jesus, he kept increasing in wisdom. Can you imagine that? the very Son of God, who took upon himself our humanness, kept increasing in wisdom. So that gives me hope, because as a man, as a spiritual man, I can, like Jesus, keep increasing in wisdom. And that's what God wants us to do. As I said, the idea there carries, this whole concept of careful carries the idea of looking, examining, investigating something with great care. And it means the idea of really of being alert. Why? Because here's the key. Why does Paul say walk as wise men? Why? Because of this. We as believers are walking every day through a spiritual minefield. We hear a lot about IEDs and about men who are serving our country over there. And we saw a program the other night. Former President Bush has a book out called Portraits and Courage. And there was a program on there. They interviewed him about some of the portraits. He took men who had been injured, and he studied their lives. And he has this program that he uses to help them to recover. And in his process of this, he knows their story, and he would draw a picture of them. But he knows more about them than just being able to paint their faces. He knows about their lives. And so some of these men lost their legs or their limbs because of these IEDs. So there's a danger when a soldier is walking through those minefields. That's the same picture that talks about here with Paul. He says, walk as wise men. Be careful. Be looking around you. Why? Here's the key. Walking every day, we are walking and being alerted to this fact that there's danger that Satan is putting in your way. It's like minefields, like spiritual minefields. He's planting things in your life to try to trip you up. He's planting things in your life to try to trap you and to make you fall into sin. And so we need to be aware of that. That's what Paul's saying here. Walk circumspect. Be aware of things around you spiritually. We're to do that, looking around and be a wise man rather than unwise. And also as a result of that, we're to walk. But Paul says, make the most of your time, your days. Make the most of every day that you have, because the days of Eve are evil. That's why Paul says we're to walk in wisdom and make the best use of our time, because the days are evil. Satan is trying to trip up all of us as believers, and we need to be aware of that. Ron talked about being able to witness and being able to be effective in your witness. And we can't be effective if we're not walking in the light, if our light isn't shining, if we're not allowing God to give us a light that is pure before him. So we've got to be aware of those things that Satan's trying to trip us up on. The other thing is that in our days, we can make all kinds of plans. We can plan our day, like I said earlier, and we never know what every day has in store. How many of you had days this week where you had planned something and everything was supposed to be going along, and all of a sudden something came in, there was an obstacle? You know, you had a flat tire in your car, you know, it didn't go well, whatever. We're going to be praying for all the teachers too, because I understand this week is a full moon coming up, right? Somebody was talking about that. Okay, full moons. Man, the kids are squirrely. You cannot predict them. That's the same thing in our lives. We can't always predict what's going to happen. James says this. I think it's very effective. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We need to walk each and every day, though, in wisdom, making the most of our time. There was a national pastor and his wife who were ministering in the country of Uganda, and they escaped from the brutal terror and oppression that was there in Uganda, made their way to Philadelphia, and there was a congregation of believers that took them under their wings and began to nurture them and to care for them. And it was interesting. One day, his wife made this statement. She says, tomorrow I'm going to go and buy some clothes for the children. As soon as she said tomorrow, she and her husband both burst into tears. Why? You see, that was the first time in many years that they had ever dared to use the word tomorrow. We take that for granted, don't we? But we can't. Why? Because we have no assurance of tomorrow. We do have assurance that we know we're going to be in heaven, but we have no assurance about what tomorrow is going to bring. So we've got to make the most of every day and the most of all of our time in every day, because it may be cut short. You may not be even here tomorrow. We don't know. We have no assurance of that. Jesus said of the farmer, and it's not picking on farmers, but God says he was a farmer. And he had large plans to do what? To build bigger and better barns and to hold more grain and to store his crop and to live his life. And you know what Jesus said about him? He said this, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you." He had already lived his last tomorrow. So we don't know what tomorrow will bring. But we're to live each and every day to its fullest for Jesus. It just blows my mind when I go back and I think about what Jesus did in those 3+ years that he lived here on this earth. Do you know what it says about the things that he did and said? It said if you were to write them and put them in a book, we don't have all the things that he did, but if we were to write them and put them in a book, it said that the world could not contain the volumes of what he did in 3 years. He used his life every day to the glory of the Father. So we need to do that as well. And we're to make the most of our time, not only because our days are numbered, but because the world is continually opposing us and seeks to hinder your walk for the Lord. When we have opportunities, this is the key, when we have opportunities to do something for the Lord's sake and for his glory, we should do it with every energy and every ounce of our heart that we have. I think God's heart must break as he sees us as his children ignore or half-heartedly take up the opportunities after that we have each day that he sends us. God sends us opportunities to bring glory to his name. How many times do we miss those? Every moment of every day, Paul has already said, we should be seeking to please the Lord. So as believers, we can only do that. We can only achieve our potential as we use the time that he has given to us. Here's my question. How are you using your time for God? Do your days consist of opportunities that he brings into your life for his glory to be serving him? Are you doing that? Are you utilizing your time for him? There is an ancient Greek statue that showed a man with wings on his feet. And he had this huge lock of hair that hung down from his forehead. And, like some of us, he had no hair on the back of his head. Back of his head. Beneath the statue was this inscription, which I think is really interesting. Here's the inscription. It says, "Who made you?" And the answer was, "Lipsius made me." "What is your name?" And here's what it says on there. "What is your name?" "My name is Opportunity." "Why do you have wings on your feet?" "That I may fly away swiftly." "Why do you have that large lock of hair on the front of your head? That men may seize me when I come by." Opportunity. "Why are you bald on the back? That when I am gone, none may lay hold of me." Isn't that profound? The opportunity to be seized at the moment, the hair on the front. But then once that opportunity is gone by, you can't grab a hold of it. It's gone forever. How many opportunities have we missed where God wanted us to do something for him, but we did not do that? Every moment of every day, God gives us opportunity, and we're to make the most of our time for the Lord. I think apart from directly disobeying God and living in sin, I think the most spiritually foolish thing, because Paul says don't walk as unwise, the most spiritually unwise thing we can do as believers is to waste our time and to waste the opportunities that God has given us only because we're living for ourselves. How many times have we had opportunities to witness to someone, but because of fear or because of busyness, we missed the opportunity? How many times have you and I had opportunities to help someone, but because of inconvenience in our schedule, we moved on and we missed the opportunities? And that list goes on and on. I want us to resolve to do this, to be aware of the opportunities that God brings into your life and then seize them. Walk circumspectly, looking all around you. Be aware of every day when God is bringing something into your life and saying, "This is God bringing this into my life, and I'm going to take that opportunity to be able to do that." And then we need to understand what the will of God is. Notice what Paul says here. He says, "So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, God's basic will, where do we find that? Of course, we find that in his word. We find God's will for our lives in the Word of God. That's found there. But I think the will of God that Paul is talking about here is really speaking about the Lord's specific leading that He has for each of us individually as believers. And here's something I think is true. He has plans for each of us every day. Every day. And we are to be following that lead. So when Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is, you need to understand the context in general from here. But you also, I think, need to take those things and apply them specifically in your lives individually each and every day. He has plans for you. When you think about that word understanding, it suggests, as we don't all think, but it suggests that God has given us a mind. And that we're to be using that mind to understand and discover the will of God. Some people think that the will of God is some kind of a mystical thing that's kind of hung way out there. That's not true at all. I think that and it doesn't involve clear thinking. I don't think that's accurate at all. In fact, I think it's a wrong thing. It's knowing the will of God is more than a mystical experience. I'm not saying that God can't talk to you in certain ways that seem to be mystical, but that aspect is not really what he's talking about. We discover the will of God as he is allowed to transform our mind. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, a very familiar text for all of us. But here's the key. Understanding the will of God begins with this. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, notice what Paul says. I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. In other words, I've got to give myself to God first, wholeheartedly, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world. Paul's been talking about this. Don't walk as unwise men. Walk wisely. Don't be conformed to this world. But what? Be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm going to know the will of God as I'm allowing my mind to be transformed by His Word. So that transformation takes place as a result of the Word of God, of prayer, of meditation, and of worship and fellowship with Him and intimacy. If God gave you a mind, then He expects you to use it. That means learning His will. It means to gather facts, being in the Word of God, examining them, and then weighing them and praying for His wisdom. He doesn't simply want us to know His will. He wants us to understand it and then do it. So when Paul's talking about wisdom, wisdom is that which takes knowledge on the one hand of the Word of God and an understanding of that knowledge. And what wisdom does is this. It takes knowledge and understanding, and that wisdom brings those two together and it marries them, and that's the application to the Word of God in our own lives. So knowledge and understanding of God and the wisdom is to apply it to my life each and every day. That's what wisdom is. Practical application in my life. So wisdom then takes that knowledge and applies it to your life in a proper way. You remember the story in Kings. There's some of the guys here have a Bible study and they're reading different books and they're reading in the book of Kings. And we read this last week about Solomon as he's beginning his role as king of Israel. And in 1 Kings 3:5, Solomon was given the opportunity by God to ask for anything he wanted. And you know what he did? He prayed this. He says, give your servant an understanding heart to judge between good and evil. In other words, what he was asking for was wisdom. Help me to know. Help me to be able to take knowledge and understanding and apply it to my life as the role of a king for my people's sake, for your people's sake. And we're told that it pleased God. It pleased God that Solomon had asked for that. He didn't. God says, I'm pleased. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches and fame. You didn't ask for your enemies to be all taken care of. He says, you asked for this. And he says, because you asked for that, here's what God told Solomon. You asked for that. And he says, I have given you what? A wise and discerning heart. And you know what? It's interesting. Right after God said that he gave him a wise and discerning heart. Do you remember the story? We don't have time to go there. But if you go to 1 Kings and you read 1 Kings 3, verses 16 through 28. You remember the story? There were two women that came in, two prostitutes. Both of them had a child. One of them lay on her child during the night and suffocated it, and that child died. She switched her dead baby to the other woman, and she took the living baby and was holding it. They went before the king, and they were saying, please, the one woman was begging, please, this is my child. She's taken my living child, and she has my dead one. And the other one says, no, this is my child. She has the dead one. And they were arguing. And you remember what Solomon did? Yeah. Would you do that? Only if you understood a mother's heart. God gave Solomon the wisdom to know which one was truly the mother. He ordered that a sword be brought in, laid the child down, cut the child in half, and give each half to the women. And the real mother cried out and says, no, let her have the baby. Solomon understood. God gave him wisdom. You know what? In our own lives, we can